Alongside Bally Sports Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
The season finale on the tee. And it's a season finale unlike we've ever done before here on the tee, because it is the first time we are recapping an international trip that we did.
The boys are back.
Still a blur. It's still hard to believe that at this point last week we were in Scotland doing a show from the Hawkswood Country Estates. And shout out to them. I mean, they were spectacular. But we did the trip right in terms of not spending the entire trip there, because then we got to go into the city. We got to stay at a Kohler property with the Old Course Hotel, which was spectacular. You got to take advantage of some of the amenities that they have there.
Can you clarify that?
What?
I liked the spa. It was very nice.
Yeah. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Okay. We just have to clarify for the listeners.
I did not take advantage of that. You did.
Yeah. I got a good steam in before the round.
Because
set the tone for the day.
Well, they had the steam open. There were certain hours where the steam was open where, you know, anybody could use it and it would not cost you any more, you know, than what you were already paying. But then we got to be in the city.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to take advantage of walking past the old... Literally every day, we walked past the Old Course that we were at the Old Course Hotel.
Yeah, I don't think I really wrapped my head around the fact that it would just... I'd be staring at 17 and 18 the entire time we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew it was going to be there, but truly, like, waking up, watching the sun rise and having breakfast over the town of St. Andrews and... holes 1, 17, and 18 every single day, and just walking back to the hotel room and just staring at the oldest golf course in the world with so much incredible history, and it's just on my right. Like, that was pretty mind-blowing to wrap my head around daily.
What was – so kind of where we left off after last week, you know, we were starting to pack up, and we ended up playing the Jubilee course. First time that we played – the only day – not really the only day. Literally the only day we played with any sort of inclement weather with the rain. Like, because the wind – that was probably one of the windier days, too, that we played in. So you had to deal with a little bit of wind, a little bit of rain.
Truly felt like the Scotland elements we were preparing for.
Yeah.
Like, I had three sets of rain gear, and I used it once.
We used it once. And that was a fun course. Some differences to that versus the old course. But really, one of the highlights of the trip was Thursday. And I know we recapped it. Maybe some of you out there watched the video on YouTube. But if you haven't, the old course is just, it's so special. And I wanted to try to capture, especially with it being your first time playing it, the reason why we did a special kind of YouTube-only show is because the emotions are so hard to capture. It's not the best golf course we played. We're going to give, in the second segment of today's show, we're going to give our favorite hole, our favorite course, the favorite shot that we hit. And I don't think I'm spoiling anything, but I don't think the old course, despite it being like the holy grail of the trip, of the one thing we were trying to do, I don't think it's going to be either of ours favorite course that we played.
It was our most memorable, though.
Correct. And it's still so hard to put into words almost a week later after playing it. So the way, for those who don't know, you can't just walk up to the course and say, I'll take a tee time, right? There's a year-out ballot, which the first time I went, the people I went with had won, so we had two tee times. And so we knew the old course was going to be a part of the itinerary, but most people don't. So you can pay to go out on the old course through, you know, a verified, you know, whatever one Nick Faldo's a part of, if you happen to watch the golf coverage on, you know, on the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
You know, you can, but you're going to pay through the nose for that.
Yeah, you either need to be a member.
Yeah.
You need to be an RNA member.
Mm-hmm.
Or you need to have one of those executive golf packages that buy a lot of these tee times and then sell them for twice the value.
Or you can try to get in via the ballot, which is basically a lottery. We tried to get on the ballot as a twosome, 48 hours in advance. They have that. But we both ultimately ended up having success in the singles queue.
Yeah, fourth time was the charm.
Yeah, so you sign up as a single. and you try to, you just go through the process. You get a number, and if your number's high enough, maybe you end up going out. And I was number four on the wait list, so I showed up last Thursday at the old course, and I got out at 8:50. And you literally had no idea when you were going out. I was told to show up at 7:30. The first tee time off was 8. And the first hour was member play. And the first two guys were playing in a match, didn't want anybody with them. And it's up to the members if they want to take anyone or not, which I completely understand. Most of the locals are understanding that this is a thing that people are trying to come do and will take someone. But again, they were playing a match, so they were gone. Maybe they have the foursome filled. The first guy that went out when I was there found out 3 minutes before his tee time. I was fortunate enough, I found out about 20 minutes before, where at 8:50, you know, about 8:30, I knew I was going out at 8:50, which I texted you.
Yeah.
And you were a little behind me, but the number had shrunk to the point where luckily you had a thought in your head.
I was thinking, today might be the day. And I at the same time, being so fired up for you, I just hope people know, and I said this on our YouTube page when we did this reaction after, like, all Gabe wanted was for me to play the old course.
Yeah, that
you
was,
wanted to give me your spot.
If I could have, I would have. But we, unfortunately, there were some horror stories. Whether or not they're true, it can be debated. But there was a rumor of a story of a group that had won, and they had tried to give some tee times away within their group, and then they all ended up getting banned, and Nobody got to play. So it's enough to scare you straight of, okay, you can't really be futzing around.
Yeah, I mean, coming into the day, I was 13.
Yeah.
It quickly dropped to 11 on the ballot overnight. And I was like, you know, there might be an outside chance I can get in the afternoon. I don't know what came across my mind to say, not only am I going to go make sure I watch Gabe tee off at 8:50 in the morning, but I should probably bring my clubs. Something crazy might happen. Because, yes, I'm number 11 on the ballot, but it's what number you are in the house that truly matters. So I was like, hey, if Gabe is getting out this quickly and seven guys are going in the first hour, I might actually have a shot today. And I might have a shot a lot sooner than the early afternoon. So I brought my clubs. And it was really fun to watch you hit a tee shot that I have personally envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch you take driver. I still can't get over it, Gabe. Because that's your club when you're riding with it.
Yeah. I was dying with it. Less than 24 hours beforehand.
You make golf courses really small when mm-hmm. you're hitting driver. But that driver can let you down a lot, too.
Yeah,
and for you to take it on number one at the old course
Had
some major cojones.
I mean, it's a 150-yard wide fairway.
Yeah, I've seen you miss 200 right.
Fair. It's very fair.
And as your friend with an audience, I didn't want to see you go OB.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted you to keep it safe.
So I feel that my decision impacted your decision because all year long, but really, I mean, really, this has been like a 2-year journey for you getting a driving iron. Yeah. I remember when we visited our friends out at Club Champion in Brookfield late last year. And you were thinking then, oh, I need a driving iron. And you finally got the driving iron this year. And by the time you got the driving iron, we knew we were going to be in Scotland. Again, we didn't know if we were going to play the old course or not. But the 2-iron had been the designated club off the first tee for you.
Yeah, it was.
Like, that had been the plan. It's been the plan for months. And I feel because I hit driver, you felt the need to also hit driver.
Well, there was a little wind going on that day.
Yeah, and which
you,
is why I
you
hit
talked
driver.
To me. You said wind was into our face. The wind swirled a little bit by the time that I got on. And just a quick update. Again, if you haven't listened and watched the YouTube, like, we go into deep depth about our experience that day. But I got a call 3 minutes before 11:10 saying, we can get you on right now. A twosome did not show up. You're on the tee at the old course.
Which is wild that you just don't show up.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was my gain, so I was just waiting. And they gave me a quick phone call, and they said, we might be able to get you on. Can you get back here right now? And I sprinted. I was there. You know, they called me at 11. I was there at 11:01. At 11:07, they made the decision that the twosome is going to miss their tee time. They pulled them, and they added me and another guy on the ballot.
And I think your story ended up helping somebody else in our group later.
Yeah.
Because the queue is an interesting thing. Because you get your number. Like, again, I was number four. And because I was early enough, like, everybody had showed up. Like, I had a separate email saying, hey, you're pretty high on the queue. Show up at 7:30, see what happens, is basically the email you get. So at number four, like, numbers one, two, and three, they were also there, ahead of me in line, and got out before me, clearly. But you were what, number four in the queue at the point when you went
out? I showed up, I was number five, but number two, present. And number one, who was present, he and I got out.
So it's also not just about once you start moving your way down the list, it's about being there. And I think, shout out to our guy Corey, who we got to play with the first day. You know, we were there the last day, that Saturday. He decided to skip his round at the Castle Course for an opportunity to go to the Old Course. And we had checked in with him before we left to go to the Old Course, or excuse me, go to the Castle Course. And he was debating if he was going to do it. He had talked with, you know, made friends with somebody else in line, and he was higher. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I think ultimately he decided to go because, well, being present also counted for something. Because maybe you're, 13, that's your number. But maybe you're number five in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And things just happen where you can get out. And Corey ended up getting out. Not only did that, he go out, but he went out with a member of the old club.
Yeah.
And got to go to a very exclusive, you know, clubhouse just off the course after his round for some drinks.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have wanted any other way. I'm glad I didn't know the night before. I wouldn't have slept. I'm glad that I didn't have 30 minutes. Even 20 minutes like you to like overthink things. Finding out 3 minutes before my tee time was a rush of adrenaline that is, I don't know if I'll ever feel that again in a game of golf. The closest I've ever come to that feeling of being overwhelmed with emotion was when I made birdie at six at Pebble Beach and I stood on the tee box at number seven.
Oh no.
And if you've listened to this show, you know what happened there.
Yeah, it's not great.
I bladed it into the ocean. But still, just that moment of like making birdie on six, standing on the tee box, hitting an iconic shot that I've thought about my entire life. That's how I felt on the first tee box. And to have my hands shake, to have my heart pumping, and then to flare a driver right, that was headed for OB on number one after I watched Gabe drive it 300 yards down the middle. I figured the adrenaline, the excitement would allow me to just put everything I had into that drive. Well, I developed a little bit of driver yips on this trip, a little high right block. And the wind, instead of being in our face, was going left to right.
He was taking it out to the sea.
And my ball was turning towards OB. There can't be a worse feeling than going OB on number one at St. Andrews. And it jumped, it hit one of the OB poles and kept me in bounds. And that was the golf god smiling down, saying, go have fun today. And that first tee shot was special, but I'll tell you what, the close is what I'll never forget about St. Andrews. As nervy as I felt on one was how free I felt on 17 and 18. And of course I was nervous, but as I tell people, nerves mean you care.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do was hit a good drive on 17. I'd been battling a little bit throughout the back. And, you know, Gabe was along walking with me the final couple of holes. Shout out to Jason Coughlin of Wisconsin Golf Trips, walking 17 and 18, and a couple of other friends on the trip joined. And that was really special to be able to play the two iconic holes at the Old Course on a beautiful day. And I finished par-par. And I don't care what I shot, what I did on the 1 through 16. I'll never forget what it was like to play those final two holes on, you know, the iconic golf course at the home of golf on a beautiful day and know that I made enough good shots to finish strong It was an out-of-body experience.
We wrapped up the trip at Kings Barnes and the Castle Course. And Kings Barnes was a special treat. I feel like I enjoyed Kings Barnes more this time around because the first time around, it was, for me, I was worried about, you know, okay, am I going to get my clothes? Because, again, if this is one of the first shows you've ever listened to, when I went to Scotland 2 years ago, my clothes never arrived. I played Kings Barnes in the shoes I wore on the airplane. So not golf shoes, the shoes I wore on the airplane. Somebody gave me a polo that I could borrow, and somebody gave me a pair of rain pants to throw on, and that's what I played in Kings Barnes in. My clothes never arrived, and after that round, I decided I can't do this again. I've got to actually buy some clothes that I can call mine. So being able to enjoy it a little bit more, I thought was a special piece of land, and it's a pretty cool property that they have, just to contrast it from the traditional links style that we played at Carnoustie at the old course.
At Jubilee.
That course exists, that Kings Barnes exists not that far outside of St. Andrews, to me, is just really cool.
Yeah, 6 miles away from St. Andrews. That's a modern-day links course. And Gabe, you summed it up great that day. If Aaron Hills in Whistling Straits made Sweet Sweet Love
and had a baby,
it would be Kings Barnes.
It would be, because you have a lot of those really cool views that, if you've ever played Whistling Straits, you know, you think of the all four par threes at the Straits are along the water, and a couple of the par fours that are along the water, and just how cool that is. And you certainly get that at Kings Barnes. But also, I mean, there's so many times where you get done with a hole, all right, let's start the climb, and then you start going up to it, which is spectacular, because it kind of gives you a view of the whole of the property, and you're able to kind of hit these higher up tee shots, which is again not something that is necessarily common in Scottish links golf. It's just a very unique property over there.
Yeah, to have the elevated tee boxes and the fact that the North Sea is always in sight on every single hole. That's where the Straits part comes into play. The scale of it. And the views from the tee box is where you feel like you're at Erin. And you're able to look around and see multiple holes and know that you can play multiple fairways. And there are a couple of holes out there. I thought 1 through 18, that course was just so unbelievably strong and a lot of memorable shots. But being able to play on the water, it just hits differently.
Tough. Yeah, it's tough to beat.
Yeah. And we got it on a beautiful day, just like we did most of the trip. Mother Nature was very kind to us on this week-long journey in Scotland. 4 of the 6 days, we had sunshine. 1 day of rain. Our caddies told us they will have 4 days of sunshine the entire month of October. And we had it in 1 week.
I played our first round. I mentioned this last week. I played our round on Monday in short sleeves.
Yeah.
I played the majority of the round. I took off the hoodie that I had, and I played it in short sleeves. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then we finish a Castle Course, which is very similar in the way that it makes you feel, the beautiful views. A little tricked out for me. A lot of blind tee shots and crazy, like putting on the Drumlin at Erin Hills on a lot of those greens, but you can't beat the sights. It's a must play when you go over there.
If you haven't played it before, I think you need to play it, because it is... I'm not going to tell you how to feel. Again, if I'm ranking the 6 courses, it's probably 6th on my list.
Yeah, me too.
That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it was 6 out of 6 incredible golf courses that we played. But it was by far the most polarizing golf course that we played, because for some people on the trip, Stephen, it was their favorite.
And that's what I think makes the itinerary that we had so strong, is that everybody's 1 through 6 looks completely different.
Yeah.
And that just speaks to how incredible the golf is and how it truly... It's whatever you feel and whatever you like. You might like a different course more than somebody else.
So we will give you our favorite course, our favorite hole, and our favorite shot. We're going to do that. Plus, we'll let you know who won our 90-hole match. Stephen and I played match play because we played every round together except for at the gold course. The old course was thrown out, but the 5 rounds we knew we were going to play for sure. We played a week-long match. Who won that match? What exactly happened? We'll discuss it all next on the tee, presented by our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. Jason did, as you just heard Stephen say, such a great job with the itinerary we had. So if you're looking for a custom package to Scotland, Ireland, he can do that as well. But he can also do you know, domestic trips, places like Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada. He's got connections all over the place. And Wisconsin Golf Trips, the one-stop shop for your next golf getaway. Handling tee times, lodging, other logistics, plus transportation, even dinner reservations. Wisconsin Golf Trips makes the entire process easy and stress-free. So make your golf trips a hole-in-one with Wisconsin Golf Trips and wisconsingolftrips.com.
You're listening to On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
With 18 unforgettable holes on 250 acres of natural private land, the Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. Book your next tee time by calling 262-284-7075. Visit golfthebog.com. Enjoy golf. Enjoy the Bog. And, you know, got pretty good weather this week, so make sure you're taking advantage of the Bog while we still have the good weather here in the state of Wisconsin. We were in Scotland, though, got back on Sunday afternoon, and what's incredible is we played a 90-hole match, Stephen. And whenever you've done these long matches, whether it was last year as part of the Dream Loop with our friend DJ Pye from No Laying Up, closed him out pretty early. You closed him out before Aaron Hills, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, closed them up before Aaron Hills. You closed me out pretty early this year when we decided to play a 100-hole match as part of the 100 holes of golf we played for the Mac Fund.
Everybody was a winner that day.
So the fact that it came down to the end.
I mean, it
truly came down to the end. The very last shot that was hit by either of us ended up dictating.
Well, technically the second to last shot.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose that is correct.
Do you want to tell the story, or do you just want me to take it on the chin?
So I was up by two going into the Castle Course, and things got away from me.
Yeah,
things got away from me. I was down by as many as three.
Yeah,
I was down
almost on the front too.
Yeah, I was. So I had cut it down to one. I was down by one. Going into the back nine, lost the first two holes. So I'm down three holes on the total. So I was down five on the match for the day, going into hole 12. And that's when I righted the ship, got the train back on the tracks.
Yeah, you started doing the Gabe Neitzel thing. I don't know if you noticed it again. You got super locked in. You started pacing on the tee boxes. I appreciated it. I felt really good. At that point in the match, I felt like I had you where I wanted you.
Yeah.
I was going to step on your throat.
Yeah.
And I did something that unfortunately plagued me a lot on this golf trip. I had a bad back nine.
Yeah.
And the middle of my back nines on a couple of those courses I'd like to have back. I lost my mental focus, made a couple of bad swings, and out there.
Got unlucky. Like, I would say you got unlucky on the par three.
Yeah, definitely that one. But to your credit, you finished with seven pars
in a row,
and I let you right back in the match. It came down to the 90th hole. We were
well. So
even.
things started getting. I knew things were real on the 16th. because
I had to test you there.
It didn't bother me. Like I was fine.
It bothered your caddy so much.
It bothered my caddy, Kenny, who, by the way, I randomly ended up with Kenny both times that I've been at Castle Course, which was really cool.
I mean, you have a pretty like unforgettable presence and voice. So when he heard you start talking, you also are like a big lefty who hits the ball a mile. It would make sense that he would remember you, but what are the odds?
Yeah, that we would still like end up like being in the same group. Like if you had ended up being your caddy, you know, just being in the same group would have been cool. The fact that he's the one who happened to grab my bag.
I mean, plus the pants, the right?
Like, well, but I didn't have the pants the first time. The pants were gone.
Gabe Neitzel had. We gotta do the week long
scripting. Yeah,
you know, like the guys do before they play in major championships. You get to see their outfits.
I thought about like taking a picture and tweeting it out, but
turns out we had
to pack kind of quickly on Saturday. Yeah. So I didn't have time to, you know, put out the social content on the way out. But on 16, a par four, it's a medium length par four. I took advantage of some slopes, hit a drive that was pretty close down there. Hit an okay chip shot that just, instead of using the backstop, ended up on top. And I hit a pretty good leg putt.
Yeah.
Down the slope, and I probably had like 2 feet left.
2 feet.
Yeah. Like, it was 2 feet.
And at this point...
We're tied.
I was playing poorly on the back.
Yep.
Momentum was totally in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I made you putt it.
Yeah. Which, again, I had no problem with, but, like, I'm marking it, and my caddy is trying to convince me to pick it up.
It wasn't just your caddy. The caddies were all chirping at me. They're like, ooh, tough crowd.
And I turned around, I said, like, I appreciate it, guys, but Steven's the only one, you know, and after I said,
Steven's the a-hole.
I said, Steven's the only one who could tell me to pick it up. And you just had the big grin on your face. Like, yeah, I know I'm putting this.
I said, right on, it's good.
And you know, you made me putt it, made the putt, had no problems with it. So that sent us to 17, where you made a spectacular up and down.
Yeah, perhaps, like, the best scrambling I did on the entire trip came on 17 there.
You're long left of the green. You had nothing. I mean, there was some green to work with, but with where you were, the landing area, in order to keep that to within 10 feet like you did, was very small.
Yeah, I had to flop a downhill pot bunker to a green that ran away from the pin, and it was probably my shot of the entire trip, truly, and then made it like a nervy bender on the way back to push it to 18.
And unfortunately, you know, 18, the pin on 18 was outlandish.
Yeah. The finishing stretch, final two holes at Castle Course were really cool.
Oh, yeah. 17,
you're hitting
a really
over a cliff.
Three.
It was 200 yards over a cliff. I mean, a nervy shot from the tee box. Kind of yanked it left and then got up and down. And then 18 is, you're going downhill, par five. All you can see is the ocean on, you know, the backside of this elevated
like
green on a cliff.
Green. That's really, it's a great visual.
But they put the pin in the, what, three paces off the back?
There's a little shelf back there. You talked about the greens at Castle Course. There's a little shelf that's, I mean, it's really small. Incredibly small.
It was
small.
A tabletop
in
the back middle of the green, a few paces off of a cliff.
Yeah. Where if you go long, bye-bye ball, it's not coming back. So, you know, I was close to the green in two, hit a pretty good drive. You also had a pretty good drive. You had like a 70-yard shot that, understandably so, you left a little short.
Yeah, I hit the wrong club. I tried to flop it, and then I decelled. I should have just bumped and run it halfway up the green instead of trying to get to the pin. I would like to have that shot back, but I'm not surprised I kind of just dug it a little bit because all I was worried about was blading.
Yeah, because the only thing in your back of your mind is like, you can't go long here.
Yeah.
So I eventually made a par, leaving you about, what, 7 feet, 8 feet?
Yeah. I think eight's probably being generous, but it was a great lag up to the top of that table, and I was like, all right, here it is. I got to make a putt on the 90th hole to push five matches with Gabe. Like, it truly felt like it was pretty even. And that's what makes match play fun, is like our scores were relatively similar,
pretty similar
for most of the trip. I'm kind of mad at you for taking video of it because it brought some demons out about I just kind of chopped at the ball, missed it low on the edge.
I mean, the one thing we wanted to do for sure is opening tee shots and last putt.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Gabe documented it. I just missed it. It just lipped on the edge. Took the hat off right away, shook Gabe Neitzel's hand, and you are the champion of our Scotland on the tee match
Scotland
play
trip.
Event.
I hope we get to do another one sometime.
Yeah.
It was for the entire trip to come down to the last hole. I think it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun. And it was fun on the final few holes, too, where we got to really kind of test each other.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like you knocked it in from 2 feet, and I walk up, I just give you a little tap on the butt, and a smirk, and I was like, you knew I was making you putt that, just as I would expect you to do to me.
Like, I was the only one who, I was like the least offended of the group, the one who had to hit the putt.
The caddies were so mad at me.
For making me putt a little two-footer. I had no problem with it.
Yeah. All right, let's have some fun.
Okay.
Favorite course, favorite hole, favorite shot of the week.
Let's start with favorite course. For me, it was, it didn't change for me, and I did not play particularly well at stretches, but I played well during the stretch I wanted to play well in, and that's Carnoustie.
Yeah, that is a big boy golf course.
Carnoustie doesn't have the views of Kings Barnes, doesn't have the scale of Dumbarney, doesn't have the feel that you have when you're on the old course. It's just a really damn good golf course.
Yeah.
And the closing stretch from 15, 16, 17, 18, like...
I'd add 14 in
Excuse me, 14. Yeah, so the last five holes there after you get past the par three, which is no picnic either, by the way, like the last five holes are just really good golf holes and a really good close that gives you more appreciation. Now, it's going to be a while before they've got some things cosmetically they have to do with like a hotel there, and they're trying to figure out how to get another Open Championship there. They haven't had one since 2019. But it's just such a good closing stretch. Like, I will put those five holes up against any, like, major championship venue. And I'm guessing Carnoustie is going to do very well in terms of the last five holes. It's my favorite golf course there. I absolutely loved it. When I've told caddies that, they go, that's really not a popular American opinion. I can't believe you're saying that. But I really feel that that's such a great golf course.
The routing is incredible. The bunkers are perfectly placed. You have to think about them on every tee shot. They come into play around the greens. The way that the greens break, it brings bunkers into play. When you have elements, like we had some elements that day and wind. Mm-hmm. The wind was going. You start bringing burn into play. The way the burn snakes around 17, 18 is just so easy on the eyes. A 230-yard par 3 is your 16th hole. Mm-hmm. I mean, 16, 17, 18.
And that wasn't from the back tees, by the way.
That is, without question, and I'll even back it up to 14. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. That is the toughest finish of any golf course I've ever played, while it also might have been the best finish of any golf course I've ever played. So I love Carnoustie. I just wish I played a little bit better that day, or it probably could sneak into my top. But for me, my favorite golf course was Kings Barnes. I just thought it shined 1 through 18. And I loved the feeling on every tee box. I loved this, you know, the strategic way that you could play that hole. Like number 12, the par 5, where you've got the North Sea on your left on an elevated tee box, and you've got to play around a dogleg left with the sea. Like that was one of the best holes that we played that entire week. And, you know, shared fairways, and it allows you to be creative, and some risk reward par fours, great par threes. Kings Barnes, if you go to Scotland, it's now the most expensive course in that area, mm-hmm. but it is worth every penny, I will tell you.
Favorite hole?
Favorite hole, 17 at the old course. The road hole lived up to the hype. And it was challenging. It made me feel things on that tee box where you've got the hotel, you've got people walking. I had some idiot college student like with his golf clubs trying to run in front of me while I was about to swing. My second shot, you've got like hooligans that are talking in my backswing. Like part of the charm.
You're such an old man right now.
But the
hooligans. Yeah. You just called a group of kids hooligans.
Yeah, get off my lawn. But there's a charm to that finish, and it's because of the history there and the fact that I've thought about which letter I could hit it over in the old course hotel moniker that's on the side of that wall. And you know, I think 17, the road hole, back left pin, where it went, the way that I was able to navigate my way through that hole, I think 17, the road hole, was my most memorable hole.
15 at Carnoustie is one of my favorites, but also 12 at the old course is one of my favorite holes. Like I could not wait when we initially walked it on Sunday to show you and Corey, who was on the trip, who was walking the old course with us. There are so many little pot bunkers there if you're not going to try to hit a drive up by the green that you have to avoid. And oh, by the way, then there's another one up by the green that you also have to avoid that you can't see from the tee. It's just such a cool design where you can't really see. I mean, you see the green and you see some fairway, but the way that the hills kind of undulate and roll, you can't see all the trouble. You need a caddy to kind of help you navigate that if you haven't played it before. I just think it's a really cool design. We are going to give our favorite shot that we hit coming up in just a little bit, but we do have a conversation that I had earlier this week as we talk about Upper Deck Golf, which is coming to American Family Field in early November. We hear that conversation coming up next, but I do want to shout out our friends at Tuckaway Country Club. What a great design that they have there. It hosted the State Open in 2013, upcoming State Open in 2026 as well. Of course, renovation in 2019 has made it really spectacular with what they were able to do with some of the drainage there. Beautiful back patio. Thanks to them for allowing Steven and I to play out there earlier this season. Really cool hidden gem in just south of Milwaukee. We talk about Upper Deck Golf coming up next on the tee. On the tee, and even though golf season is ending here, there are so many great things that you can do during the golf off season here in Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin, to make sure your game stays sharp. And there is a cool event coming to American Family Field, November 7th through the 9th. Upper Deck Golf, and from Upper Deck Golf, to talk more about it, we welcome in Frank Brown. Frank, thank you so much for the time. So let's just start with this. You guys have found a way to, you know, get golf inside stadiums all over the place. Where did the idea originally come from for Upper Deck Golf?
The idea came basically from my business partners and I, you know, being big time golfers and sports fans, and trying to marry a concept that allowed us to utilize Major League Baseball and NFL stadiums in kind of a unique way, and provide an opportunity for not only golf geeks like us, but you know, fans of the team to experience their favorite ballpark in a really unique way.
So where else have you guys taken this? You're coming to Milwaukee for the first time. Again, go to upperdeckgolfing.com/AmericanFamilyField to book your tee time today, November 7th through the 9th. What are some of the stadiums you guys have utilized?
We've been all over the country. We've been to Soldier Field. We've been to Wrigley Field. We've been to Fenway Park. You know, I think we are now in about 30 Major League Baseball and NFL stadiums across the country. We've also done some college stadiums. We were at the SHU with Ohio State earlier this year, and we'll be doing some other college stadiums coming up in 2025.
So what is the experience fans can expect when they go to American Family Field in early November?
What they can expect is a little bit of something for everybody. Like I said, whether you're a golf geek or, you know, you're somebody who just wants to experience American Family Field in a really unique way as a huge fan of the Brewers, or you're looking for something fun to do on a date night, we run tee times from 7 in the morning until 9 p.m. at night. Our golf round is a 9-hole unique experience that 360 encompasses the entire stadium. So you'll play shots from the lower level to outfield all the way to the upper deck, and you'll hit 9 different tee box locations, play 2 balls per hole, so kind of like a best ball 9-hole golf course.
Upper Deck Golf coming to American Family Field. Frank Brown helping us break it down here on the tee, ESPN Milwaukee 94.5 ESPN. Do you guys provide clubs? Do I need to bring my own clubs? I'm a lefty, Frank, so I got to make sure I'm comfortable hitting some of these yardages.
So you don't need to bring your own clubs. You absolutely can if you want, although you can only bring something as high as an 8-iron. But we are partnered with Cleveland Srixon, so we have the latest and greatest from Cleveland Golf, wedges and up to, like I said, up to 8-irons positioned at every hole depending on the yardage. Most of our shots range from anywhere from, you know, about a 65 to 70 yard shot up to about 135 yard shot. And so we have, like I said, we have men's, women's, lefties, senior clubs available. So if you don't feel like lugging your own clubs around the stadium, you absolutely don't have to.
I also noticed you guys have a driving challenge. What's the story? Because that's always been the strength of my game, the driver, more than, you know, maybe some of these shorter shots that you guys are going to feature. What's the driving challenge all about?
Well, you're unique in that regard, I guess. most people are the opposite. So we're actually going to be utilizing X-Golf there within the stadium, and we'll have not only a long drive challenge that you can participate in or buy as part of the VIP package upgrade. We also have a closest to the pin challenge that it's run off of simulators, as well as a putting challenge. And so we'll do some daily prizes for each of those. And like I said, it's really about making it, an all-encompassing experience. So we encourage people to come, you know, 45 minutes to an hour before their tee time. And then afterwards, you know, stay as long as they want there in X-Golf. We're going to call that our clubhouse within the stadium. you know, we'll have sports on TV. You know, college football will be going on Saturdays. We got the, you know, World Series coming up starting soon. So, you know, anything you want to do on Sunday, hang out and watch football. So, yeah, we encourage people to come and then stay as long as they want after they play their round of golf.
Upper Deck Golf coming to Milwaukee and American Family Field November 7th through the 9th. Frank Brown helping us break it all down. I also noticed that you guys are tied with Stand Up to Cancer, which is, if you've watched any Major League Baseball over the last handful of years, you've seen that's a special charity for them as well. Why was it important for you guys to be associated with Stand Up to Cancer?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, you know, if you are a fan of baseball, you've seen what they've been able to do partnering with Major League Baseball, and it was just a natural synergy for us. We wanted to do something that where, you know, in addition to providing, a great opportunity for people in their home market, but also a way to give back a little bit. Stand Up to Cancer does a phenomenal job of, you know, really funding innovative cancer research with the goal of trying to make everyone who's ever diagnosed with cancer a survivor, and you know, we couldn't be more proud to be partnered with them.
Upper Deck Golf coming to Milwaukee. Check out the website upperdeckgolfing.com/American Family Field to get your standard tee time, to get your VIP tee time, and see what it is all about at American Family Field in early November. Frank, thank you so much for the time. I, for one, cannot wait for the event. So excited you guys are coming to Milwaukee.
Looking forward to seeing you out there. I appreciate you having me on.
Again, special thanks to Frank for joining us. Upper Deck Golfing happening at American Family Field. For your next best round of golf, do what I did. Join the Wisconsin Country Club. No assessments, no food and beverage minimums. Beautiful golf course that's fun and challenging. But, of course, they have more than just golf. The Wisconsin Country Club, tennis, pickleball courts, pool with themed Sunday fun days each and every week. Get started today. Visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away. Steven and I tell you our favorite shots that we hit in Scotland, part of our One Call, That's All, coming up next. All right, Steven, One Call, That's All, brought to you by Gruber Law Offices, the best shot you hit in Scotland.
Well, I will tell you one thing I struggled with was lag putting at a lot of the courses out there, and the best shot I hit was the lag putt I had on number 17, the rolled hole at the old course.
I knew that was coming.
It was an up and down I needed to make happen, and it was to a back left pin. It had 2 to 3 breaks in it. I hit perfect pace. I put it to 15 inches.
What was that, an 80-foot putt?
At least, yeah. I mean, it truly, I hit a great 4-iron up there after a leaky driver and got up and down from 80 feet, putting the ball or keeping the ball on the ground. That's the best lag putt I've ever hit in my entire life. 17 at the rolled hole. How about you?
I am going to say my second shot on number 5 on St. Andrews. Hit a really good drive on that hole, left me pitching wedge into a par 5, hit it to about 6 feet, made the putt.
Eagle.
Yeah, eagle.
A big bird.
A big bird on the old course, which was pretty special and pretty amazing. So I would say, yeah, that pitching wedge. There were a couple of drives. I hit one on number 3 at King's Barnes. That was pretty good. But
pretty good. I don't think it's landed yet.
But, you know, when you have a pitching wedge and you end up making an eagle on the old course, it's really tough to top that.
And there's a lot of just really cool shots that you don't get in the States. You know, some of the bunker shots, I had to hit a Carnoustie. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was one backwards putt that I had to hit on second shot on the par 3, 13th at Carnoustie, where my ball just stood right on top of the bunker.
If you were lefty, if you were me, it wouldn't have been a problem.
But because
you were
I was
righty,
a righty, it was a 10-foot drop into the bunker, so I had to hit it backwards and, you know, we shared that one on our social media platforms. You know, a lot of really fun shots out there that are unique to Scotland. What a trip it was.
We are going to share a lot more of that content that we recorded, and we're going to share that on our social media accounts, even though on the tee, our season is over. Hopefully your golf season continues to go strong. I do want to thank everybody who is a part of our golf trip. Big shout out. I do have to shout out Mark and Chris. They were the pool champions while we were over there in Scotland, which was big to them. They gave us a hard time for not mentioning them, so we're mentioning them now. Thank you to everybody. Season 4 on the tee in the books. Up next, Bucks Season Preview Show here on 94.5 ESPN.